to you as people. God is a good God. And we need to see and understand that he loves us and he directs us in all of his ways. And I've discovered over the years that God has forgiven you of your past and he's empowered you for your future. Your future is looking bright. Some of you are going to have to wear sunglasses or your future is so bright. Hallelujah. You're going to have to take hold of the word of God. And you're going to have to see that God wants you to love him and serve him. You have been called to be missionaries in this place. And God wants you to be men and women of uncommon faith. You see, we need to see and understand in Romans 12 and verse 3 that when you gave your heart to Jesus, he gave you, it says, a measure of faith. You were given exactly the same measure as me, as was given to Johnny, as was given to Duncan, and I was given to any one of you. But it's what you do with that measure of faith that's important. Because I want to ask you this morning, like I may have done during the week with some people, but whose opinion are you living by? You see, are you living by the opinion of the BBC? Are you living by the opinion of the world news? Or are you living by the opinion contained between Genesis 1 and Revelation 20? This is the book that we have to live by, build our lives upon, and know that if God be for us, who can be against us? But one of the things Barbara and I have noticed is a quote that we picked up the other week, but some churches have got destination disease. It's a serious complaint. Because they get so far in life and they grow to a certain stage and they think, well, I'm getting old and we've a nice little holy huddle and we can meet week by week and we'll stay as we are. Brothers and sisters, that's called destination disease. Yeah. And there's a cure for destination disease, and it's called giving your heart back unto the Lord and asking him to move you according to his word and by his Holy Spirit. There's a man called Joel Osteen. Many of you will have seen him on TV. And he holds his Bible up in church every Sunday and he says to his congregation, they hold their Bibles, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Do you know why I believe that? Yes. Amen. And you need to be men and women who believe what it says. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I have what it says I can have in Jesus' name. And then he goes on to say, today I'll be taught the word of God, my mind is free, etc., etc. But he ministers the word of God, and God's word is a treasure trove. I was in Belfast the other summer. I've told the story, a few of you will have heard it. Two little girls in a park in Belfast, famous for its rose gardens and fountains, at Lady Dixon Park. And a friend of mine was taking photographs one night, and he heard these screams of utter delight from these two little nippers, 7, 8, 9 years of age. And as he walked by the park taking photographs of rose beds, listening to these screams, he thought he'd find out where they were from. And there were screams not of hurt, not of pain, but absolute delight. And these two little girls were in the middle of a fountain, and they were right up to their thighs in mud. And every now and then, and he went to his girls, you got to get out, your mother will at you. And he said, no, mister, we've got treasure. And they kept digging, they would get down in, and the mud would come up their arms. And as he looked around the wall of the fountain, there was piles of 20 pences, piles of 10 pences, and there was lots of money set around the wall. And these little, he said, girls, you better go home, you'll be in trouble. And they said, no, mister, there's more treasure. So he went off to take more photographs, and as he walked away, he heard these squeals of utter delight. Can you hear them? You know, kids are like, ooh, look at we found. And they put their hand in, and out came the mud, and they shook it off, and there was another 10 pence piece, and they stacked them around the wall. Mister, we've got treasure.
Amen.
This book, called the Bible, or the Word of God, is full of treasure. And it's a treasure that will never end. And like those little girls would go in and they'd dig deep into the mud and they'd pull out coins and stack them around the Word, the walls of the fountain. I want to encourage you, dig into the Word of God and let His Word become alive in your heart. That you might scream with delight. Oh, there are times when I just get so excited about what I read in God's Word. Because in Ephesians 2 and verse 1 it says, and you, that's me, he's speaking to me. It's speaking to you. He says to you, say, that's me.
That's me.
That is dreadful. Say, that's me.
That's me.
He says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, or who was unresponsive to spiritual truth, in which you once walked. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Man. Jesus' word is powerful.
Yeah.
It's sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting to the very marrow of the bone. Jesus' word will seal you from sickness. Jesus' word will set you free. And like these little girls in the middle of the fountain, pulling out pennies and 10-pence pieces and 20-pence pieces, dig into the word of God and pull out the truths of God's word and let a scream come out of your spirit, man, that you might rejoice in the goodness of God. Like I said, Romans 12 and 3 says we have a measure of faith. But the scriptures also says without faith, it's impossible to what? I've got two here to understand. Without faith, it's impossible.
Please God.
And God's looking for you to love on him and to be pleased by him and to please him. You know, God, there was in 1 Samuel 17, we read about, anybody heard the story of David and Goliath?
Yes.
The little nipper against the big nipper. Yeah. And the little nipper went up and he took a few stones out of the brook, put them in his slings, and the big guy got caught right between the head. But he was a young man of uncommon faith. He exercised the faith that God had given him. And God wants you in this wonderful, beautiful church to exercise the faith that he's given you. That you, whom he has made alive in Christ Jesus, would be like a David who would see the giant before you, but realize in your heart that the God who lives inside you is bigger than the giant that's before you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That he wants you to be like Elijah, who was up on the mountain and he told all the other false prophets to get the... words gone right out of my head. An altar. And on that altar he was to place the bowl. They put stones on, they called on their gods, and there was no answer. But Elijah poured water over it and made sure that it was going to be miraculous. And he stepped forward and he called on the true and only God that there is alive in these days and ever will be. And he spoke from heaven, and the earth, the altar was burnt to ashes, and so were the stones.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto God but by him. There is only one God in heaven and earth. Hallelujah. And he is the true and the living God. Who, if he be for you, who can be against you? We come then to a woman who had an issue of blood. She was bleeding for so long. She had wasted all her money on doctors. And then she says, if only I could touch the hem of his garment. Apparently Jesus was coming to town. And she says, if I could just touch his garment, I know I would be healed. She had uncommon faith. And she stretched her hand out and she touched the hem of his garment. And immediately she touched his garment, she was
healed.
Amen.
There was a group of men who were full of leprosy. But they knew that they could be healed. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Those he healed yesterday, he will heal today again and heal tomorrow.
Amen.
And Jesus, we know, spat on the ground, put on the leper's eyes, and they were healed. But you see, they had an uncommon faith.
Yeah.
They knew that if they could find Jesus, he would heal them. Then there was a young man lying on a bed, totally paralyzed, and he got four great mates. He got a bunch of mates who one night climbed onto the roof of the house where Jesus was, and they were so insistent in getting him before Jesus, they pulled the tiles up, just a bit like Johnny's house, and they lowered him down in on a bed, you know, and they lay, and he went down before Jesus' feet. And those young men had uncommon faith, because they knew that if he gave their friend before Jesus, Jesus says, take up your bed and
walk.
A man of faith believes the word of God above the circumstances of his life. A man or woman of faith prays earnestly, even though he has not seen the answer There was a man called Elijah, said to his servant, go and look for the rain. We know the servant came back and he says, Master, there's nothing. Go again and it's coming. He was confident. I have God's confidence in my heart that this place is going to flourish in Jesus' name. I have a confidence by the power of the Holy Spirit that what God has done in this place up to now is in preparation for what is yet to come, because what is yet to come is far greater than what has been.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, get ready for God to release an uncommon faith amongst you as people. A man of faith or woman of faith never gives up. A man or woman of faith goes where there's just a little evidence. A man or woman of faith believes for the big, even when they just see the little. I love this story of the little boy, the little nipper. He took his few fish and his few loaves. Praise God, he didn't go to Monica's for lunch. Hallelujah. And he took his loaves and fish and he presented them to Jesus. And there was small, and there was 5,000 seated, plus others. And the Lord took the little and spoke to it and multiplied it. The Lord wants to take your little, that you will give to him freely, and let him multiply it in Jesus' name. We have 5 natural senses. We can hear, we can see, we can taste, we can touch, etc. But there's a 6th sense we all need. And it's a sense of faith. Faith needs to arise. Let faith arise and let my enemies be scattered. Let faith arise and let this place come alive in Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, they were, the other week, many will have heard about the wonderful, wonderful testimonies that were coming out of the university in America where there was a real revival was taking place. Brothers and sisters, what took place there can take place here.
Amen.
Where God's looking for men and women of faith. Give him your faith. There's a lady, I'm going to tell you a story about a missionary. Her name was Dawn Diebler Rose. She was imprisoned in New Guinea in 1939, having been married for 2 years. The Japanese had just invaded the island of Papua New Guinea. She was put in one prison and her husband in another prison, and she was in a prison with all the women and 2 little children and their children. And she was brutally beaten. She was brutally abused, but she became the camp leader. And there was a man called Mr. Okay, you have to go with this. Yashimani or something like that. It was a Japanese name. And what he did was, having faced all those beatings and that, she went into him one day and she was bawled and she stormed into his office and she told him, because she could speak the language fluently, that he needed to find Jesus and stop hurting these women. Well, some time later, something happened in the camp. She was put into a cell on her own. And in that cell, there was just a tiny little slit at the top. And she was in the cell one night and she heard some women speaking outside. And she climbed up holding her nails onto the lintel and pushed herself up with her feet. And she got there and she heard them talking and she looked out. And this one woman backed over to a wall where there's trees and overhanging the wall. And suddenly there was a bunch of bananas came down from the wall. And these women went off scurrying away. Somebody had sent them bananas. And she fell down in her prison cell weeping. And she'd only had one dress in 4 years. She was a woman who'd been abused and beaten in every way. And she sat in the cell and she says, Lord, all I want is one banana. Lord, I'd love a banana. Lord, I would really, really love a banana. Anyhow, the next day, Mr. Yashimani, as his name was, he came to visit her and he looked at her and he saw how ill she was. She was really poorly. Her head was full of lice. Her body was infested. She got
dysentery.
She was really ill. And that afternoon, there was a knock on her cell door, and the guards opened it, and they threw in a bunch of bananas. And she says, Lord, I only wanted one banana, but you sent me 96. And on that big bunch of bananas, they were all at various levels of ripening.
Wow.
And every day, one a day for 96 days, she had a banana.
Hallelujah.
My God.
Amen.
Shall supply
all my needs according to his riches and glory.
She then got word, she was released from solitary confinement, she went back to the barracks. And eventually the island was released, a whole story. I read the book, it was at my Barbie, asked Barbie for a book on missionary work for Christmas, my Christmas box. And she brought me this, and I read this story, and it just enthralled me. Anyhow, the Americans took back the island of Papua New Guinea, and the Japanese were in prison. And when they came to find her at the camp, they met her as the camp leader, and they said, "What can we do for you?" She says, "Can I have a new dress and a pair of shoes?" And the next day, they turned up with a new dress for her, which she said it looked rather big because she'd got rather small.
Yeah.
But she tied it round with a belt. And the only pair of shoes that this young American Navy man brought her was a pair of American men's brogues, black. And she put them on her feet because she hadn't worn shoes for ages. And she cried, "Lord, I just wanted a pair of shoes, nice shoes, women's shoes." And the next day they were coming back for her to take her away from the camp, to take her to her husband's grave on the way to where she was going. And the young American man turned up with a shoebox under his arm, and he opened it up, and there was the pair of the most beautiful white sandals, fitted her perfectly, and she just stood and cried, because my God shall supply. They took her to visit her husband's grave, and then they took her to on a plane that flies and floats, can't remember.
Seaplane,
that's the word. And they flew her into, they took her on the seaplane from Papua New Guinea to Philippines. And when they docked at the Philippines, she got off, she was the only one on the plane. And as she got off the plane, they, if you can imagine a long jetty, and there were soldiers, American Marines, standing up the whole length of this. And every time she took a step and walked by a Marine, they saluted her. And when she got to the building where their mess was, or their canteen, and they opened a set of double doors, and as she stepped in through the double doors, a full orchestra burst into the American national anthem, and a flag fell down from the ceiling, and the whole place stood and greeted her. Brothers and sisters, there's a day coming when you and I will enter the King of Kings' presence. Yeah. And the angels will sing and they will rejoice. And then we will stand under the shadow of his wing. And we will cast our crowns before him, like we read in the book of Revelation, which have been given to us as gifts from God, as a reward for what we've done with what we have. Oh, there won't be a Royal Marine band playing. There'll be something far greater.
Yeah.
Oh, there won't be a national anthem flag from a nation fall down. There will be the King of Kings sitting on his throne, and we'll fall before him, and we'll weep with joy because we're in the presence of the Lord Almighty.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Darlene Diebler went home to America. Long story short, she met someone else. She was only 36 at this time. And they went back to Papua New Guinea, to where she lost her husband and where she'd been in prison. And after they'd visited Papua New Guinea, they went to Australia to visit a friend, a lady who'd been imprisoned with her and who'd become very friendly with her. And as she went to this lady's home in Australia, the lady said to her, "You never guess who we met." She says, "We met the priest," because on the camp there'd been a priest. And he told us that he'd met Mr. Yamaashi. And Mr. Yamaashi had asked him, had the priest ever met any of the people that had been imprisoned and so badly treated? And the priest said, "Yes, he had." And Mr. Yamaashi said, "If you see more, will you tell them that I found, especially the lady who told me about my Savior, will you tell her that I know the man she spoke of?"
Amen.
And she said, as I'm reading her book, and she's in that house with her friend in Australia, weeping at the fact that Mr. Yamaashi, it's not well pronounced, who was responsible for many women being raped and beaten and men murdered and put away, but he got this young lady, he was prompted to take her a bunch of, and she only wanted
one,
but she got 96. You see, when I look upon you this morning, I see a room full of people.
bananas. Some are long and green and some are short and dumb. You see, God wants, has sent you here to do a work for Him. And I pray that this church will never become a people who have got destination disease.
That's right. Amen.
You must never, ever get destination disease. Yeah. Destination disease kills.
Yeah.
You've not arrived until we arrive with Him in glory.
Yeah.
Over in Northern Ireland, where we're from, there's a church we go to in the, on a Sunday night, right out in the sticks, not far from our home, because we live right out in the country. And the pastor is called Jim, and his wife is called Wilma. Wilma had a school friend who had a daughter, and Wilma's daughter had a little girl, and the little girl was called Penelope. And every night she would read Penelope a story from the Bible. You know those children's Bibles, you get the pop-up things, and you know, beautiful stories in them. And one night she was telling Penelope about Jesus, and Penelope says, "Mommy, I want to pray for your leg." Her mom had suffered with severe psoriasis. And she laid her little hands on her mom's leg and prayed. And she opened her eyes and she said, "Mommy, it's still there." And her mommy says, "Don't worry." She says, "The doctor will give you some." "No, mommy," she says, "you told me in the Bible that Jesus heals." She says, "I'm going to pray again." And she prayed a second time and she opened her eyes and it was still the same. And her little heart, "Mommy, it's still the same. Why doesn't Jesus answer?" She says, "Mommy, I'm going to do it a third time." And she prayed the third time. And then the third time she says, "Jesus, I ask you to heal my mommy's leg." And as she had her little tiny hand, she's 4 years of age, on her mom's leg, her mother's words were, her leg began to tremble. And when the little girl opened her eyes and took her hand off her mom's leg, her leg was perfectly healed.
Amen.
Amen.
He's the same yesterday,
amen,
today,
forever.
Amen. Today, I'm calling you as my brothers and sisters in Wellspring Victory Church to exercise your faith, to stretch forth your hands and pray for whoever's sick. And you know, people will say to me they're sick, so I never give them a chance to tell me what for. I just start praying for them. And people will... I just get the urge to pray for people sometimes. And I don't say to them, "Can I pray for you?" I just pray for them. Mm-hmm. But I've seen some amazing miracles take place.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to dare to believe,
yes,
that God will do what He says He will do,
yes,
in His Word.
Amen.
He has given you and I a measure of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Use it.
Yeah.
Exercise it. Dig into the treasure of God's Word and pull out the treasure trove of gifts that are in it.
Yeah.
I'll be back October time, I think it's going to be when I'm back. And when I come back, I have expectation in my heart,
yeah,
that this place will be full.
Amen.
Why? Because I am a man of faith. I believe that I can ask, and by faith I receive. I receive it before I see it.
Yeah.
It's already in my heart. It's already in here. That as I look out, the tables that are empty shall be full.
Yes.
And I was praying. Johnny and I went and had a little breakfast together yesterday morning. Well, not a little. Hallelujah. And as we sat, we must have sat for nearly an hour and a half, 2 hours, just talking about Jesus, about the Lord. There's a dream and a vision about to come to pass in this house. Duncan and Pat brought the church right to here. Andrew Fisher, he was the first pastor, elder, he brought it so far. And Duncan and Pat have brought it this far. And now they're being joined by those who have got the same heart, same mind, same spirit, and will follow after God. I want to ask you this morning, will you become men and women of uncommon faith?
Yes.
He's a good God.
Amen.
You know, He hasn't got a big stick. He doesn't beat His children. He loves you. He says, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Bring the sick that He might heal them in Jesus' name."
He's given you and I a great measure of faith. I'm asking you, exercise it.
Yeah.
And let the uncommon faith of God arise.
Mm.
And let the people who work in here... If I hear of anybody Bible bashing anybody, you'll be in trouble. Because the word of God is gentle.
Yeah.
Yet it's firm. The word of God is powerful. And the word of God will raise the dead and heal the sick.
Yeah.
Cleanse the leper.
Yeah.
I'll finish with this testimony. You and I have the same Jesus living in us, if you know and love Jesus this morning. We were given the same measure of faith. Years ago, when we were pastoring one of our churches, Barbie worked as a midwife on the district, and one of the ladies she worked with rang us one Saturday morning, or yes, it must be a Saturday morning, a Friday morning, and she says, "Do you know a faith healer? My little grandson has been born. They've only given him a short while to live in Leeds General Infirmary Scuba Unit." And we said to her, "We don't know any faith healers, but we know one who heals, and his name is
Jesus."
Amen.
But didn't want that. 3 o'clock, it was Saturday morning, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock Saturday morning, I got woken up and the Lord spoke to me and says, "Go and pray with that baby."
Mm-hmm.
And I got into the car and drove for just over 2 hours to get to Leeds to the General Infirmary, and I found the special care baby unit. I went to the special care baby unit and there was this little tiny tot, under 7 pounds in weight.
Mm-hmm.
The doctors said he'd got spina bifida, but he was going to die. That's what they told the parents.
He was heart trouble.
No, he's spina bifida as well. He had heart trouble as well. But they told the parents he wouldn't live. So I'm there telling the parents are not saved. Parents don't know Jesus, but I do.
Amen.
So I'm telling them, I want to pray. God sent woke me at 4 in the morning. I've driven for 2 hours at 6:15 a.m. And I want to pray over your little baby. And I remember laying my hands on this tiny baby's head. I can't remember exactly, I said it was Joshua. "Joshua, I declare in the name of Jesus, you shall live and you shall not die. You shall rise up off this bed and you shall serve the Lord. And you shall grow strong in Jesus' name." And a nurse came to me and she says, "You are giving these people absolutely, it's wrong what you're doing." I said, "Listen, you're giving them no hope." Hospital told me he was going to die. They come back to them on the Sunday afternoon and said, "Well, we're going to take him to surgery tomorrow. We think we might be able to do something, but it'll be a series of operations." She rang us at home. This is his mom. And she said on the phone, "Do you ever say something you think, where did that come from?"
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I say things and think, "Dear Lord, why did I say that?" And she phoned me and she was weeping and she was saying, "Well, they've said it'll take 3 or 4 operations, but they don't know we'll survive the first one." I said, "There will be one operation and he will be totally well." Where did that come from? For it rose up from within me.
Yes.
The Monday evening we got a phone call. She's crying on the phone, but it's crying with joy in her heart. She says, "Will, he survived and they did the whole operation one go."
Amen.
Today he's a teenager and he lives in Melton Mowbray in the centre of England.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
I've come to discover that the Christ who lives in me is the Christ of this book.
Yes.
And what is said in here is true, accurate, and I believe it.
Yes, sir.
But I had to go searching in the Word of God to discover the truth. Can I encourage you? Come to Church of the Bible. Listen, I've got oodles of Bibles on here. But there's nothing more wonderful than picking up your Bible and filling it with notes and underlining bits and pieces. John, this was a bit I got for you earlier, and I apologize that I gave this to you, but it says, it's in Timothy. And it's talking about all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and for correction and instruction in righteousness. Rise up. Bring reproof to God's word. Bring correction. Bring direction. Bring the word of God of life in the people's houses. Duncan, I say exactly the same to you, Pat. Take the word of God that he's planted, the seed of which he's planted in you. Let it arise and let it go forth. Lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Let Jesus do a great and awesome work. That this place would be known for its signs and wonders.
Amen.
And
miracles
for Jesus.
Amen.
A people of uncommon faith.
Yeah.
That's what God wants you to have.
Yeah.
So I pray, Father, for every one of these people this morning, that the measure of faith that you have given unto them would be stirred up in their hearts.
Yes.
And that you, Lord God, would cause them to be people of uncommon faith.
Yes.
That they, Lord God, would take your word, believe it, and see it come to pass. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Here's a look. Just be careful. Do what he tells you to do, and nothing else.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's very important. Because I've seen people step out to do things which they think they ought to do because they've read it once. It's not a matter of reading it. It's a matter of it has to go into your heart, and you've got to know it. And when you know the one who said it, and you have the confidence to go forth. And there'll be a time where I could tell you lots of amazing testimonies of people who woke up when I prayed for them. Come off life support machines, different things. Why? Because the Christ who lives in me is the hope of glory.
Yeah.
He is the one who wants you to go and reach this awesome community for his glory and praise.
Hallelujah.
This morning you stood with Duncan and Pat, and you stood with Helen, and you stood with Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
And you stood acknowledging their gifting and where they're going to take you.
Yeah.
And they're going to take you far. In Jesus' name. But this morning I've tried to do things as right as I possibly could in setting them in office properly. That they, with laying on of hands, know that they're set in. Johnny's had that done to him before. And so has Duncan. But today, in front of you, and in front of the King of Kings, arise, go forth, and build the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.